Blog Talk Radio.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. We're back after a week off. I guess our DJ still wants another week off. So we're going to do this, I guess, a cappella. Well, I guess we're not doing a cappella show. This is PLR. Welcome, welcome one, welcome all. Thank you for joining us. Good to be back on. Hopefully everyone had a good holiday, good Thanksgiving. Hopefully you ate way too much, enjoyed yourself way too much, and we're back to talk about a whole bunch of sports. We have the one, the only Ed Cole hopping on with us in about 15 minutes. Topics. Bears won. Cowboys won. And the Saints just keep winning. We'll get into that. Same old Michigan, same old Ohio State. Is that even fair for me to say? At this point, I think so. Everything is shaking down now. Should Oklahoma get in? Should Ohio State get in? Last I checked, they both had games left. If Georgia beats Alabama, does Georgia get in? Does Alabama get in? We have a lot to discuss. N'Keal Harry, wide receiver, ASU, going pro. Just left that press conference. I'll have a lot of stuff on the website about that. It is so much to do, so much to get into. Let's get started. There's so many things that I haven't even touched on. Sorry if you hear the rasp in my voice. Don't know where that's coming from. Not like all of a sudden I have this sexy movie star voice. I guess I've already had that anyway. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. We are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. That's 4901 South Alma School. Get in there. Let them know PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Become a club member, get a locker that backs up to a humidor, never ever worry about your sticks going bad. Best selection in the valley, and at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, they are now serving beer and wine. So you can actually sit there, have a drink, watch one of the mini televisions. They have all the games, all the time, no matter what. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at Alma School in Chandler Heights. That is in Chandler, Arizona. Let them know PLR sent you, and you will get 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Thank you and welcome back. Good to be back after a week off, a week of vacation. Glad to be back on air with you. You heard some of the topics we have. Kerry Lackey Law Line, easy number, 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. Anything you have on your mind, please chime in, or if there's a topic that I brought up that you'd like to discuss, please do so. Like I said, I'm going to try to get as many calls as I can here before 1:15. That's when Ed Cole is scheduled to call in. I do have a caller on hold. I really appreciate your patience. Thanks for calling the Cave Show. This is PLR. To whom do I have the privilege of speaking to?
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. It's Lou. Welcome back.
Lou, what's up, buddy? How was your vacation? How was the turkey day?
Oh, it went very well. Yeah, even better that my Cowboys have beaten the Redskins. Ah.
Well, you know what? They're back in control of their own destiny.
Yes, they are.
So they can make some noise.
Yeah, now the destiny is theirs.
You know what? I truly believe that the Cowboys are going to win that division now. There's no doubt in my mind about that whatsoever. I do believe they're going to win that division.
All right. So where do you think Philly stands in all this now? I mean, they won yesterday, and if they would have lost, that would have made the AFC. I mean, the NFC East even more interesting. But the Giants would pull within two games of the division leader, but they fell flat as they collapsed in the second half yesterday. So where is Philly feeling all this now?
I just don't think that they have enough. And not necessarily enough to win a division. And Lou, we have our guest line. Stay online with me. I'm just going to bring him on with us.
Okay.
The one, the only, Ed Cole. You know him. He's the hardest working man in sports. And we'll get him to weigh in on this as well. I just don't think Philly has enough to win the division. And if they don't win a division, I don't know if they have enough to catch up with the Seattle school I like a lot, Minnesota, who I like a lot, and the other playoff wild card teams. I just don't know if they have enough firepower right now to catch those teams. Ed, welcome to the show. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, until you officially eliminate a world champion, they're always going to be in contention. Even at 5-6, like you said, they're still in striking distance. They're still in contention in the NFC East. But until that team is eliminated, which makes, I believe, next Monday night's game against the Redskins even that much bigger, because that's going to be a huge game at Lincoln Financial Field for that one. But I agree. I think this is still Dallas's division. I mean, especially with that big win over the Redskins on Thanksgiving, that was a huge win for the Cowboys. So now they got their thing rolling. Now they beat them. They beat Atlanta the week before. They had two straight road games, and then they beat the Redskins. So they're in a 3-game winning streak. So Dallas is feeling really good right now. And until you can stop Zeke Elliott, I mean, that's where the Cowboys, that's the Cowboys' bell cow. Until you stop that young man, I mean, the Cowboys are going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, there was questions raised about that. You know, they were saying, oh, well, is Zeke Elliott, you know, Jerry Jones' man? Because, you know, they were saying a lot about his performance just before this winning streak started.
I think it's fair to say the win streak started when they decided to start giving him the ball. You have that weapon sitting there, and you don't give him the ball. You look, there are certain guys in this league that need to touch the ball anywhere between 20 and 25 times every game. And I'm not saying they all have to be running plays, but Zeke Elliott, Melvin Gordon, those guys need to touch the rock 20 to 25 times a game. If you put the ball in their hands that much.
You saw that against the Redskins. He had 31 touches, 26 rushes, and 5 receptions, which illustrates your point perfectly. You got to get that guy at least 25 to 30, if not 35 touches. I mean, he's built for that.
Yes. Yep. Anything less than that, listen, here's the worst thing that's going to happen to the Cowboys and the Cowboy fans, and I really truly do mean this. Dallas is a good team when they feed the ball to Zeke Elliott. Now, they have a tough game coming up against New Orleans, but here's the flip side. Like you said, Washington is playing Philly. Dallas actually has to root for a Philly win, because that puts them even with Washington and still keeps them both equally behind, because it's going to be awfully hard for Dallas to beat New Orleans. But I still think Dallas wins that division. Here's the bad part about winning that division. It means you keep your coach. And when you look at the NFL today, and you see what Sean Payton is doing down in New Orleans, and you see what Andy Reid is doing in KC, and you see what the genius is doing out with the Rams, and you even look at Chicago and see what Nagy's doing, those coaches are changing and innovating with the times. Down in Dallas, there's no adjustments at halftime. Up in Green Bay, there's no adjustments at halftime. Matthew Stafford looks like a average quarterback, a below average quarterback for the money that he's making all of a sudden. Those days are over. You have to be innovative on offense, and you have to make sure you're getting the guys that are playmakers the ball enough times to be effective. And, Ed, I don't know if you agree with that or not, but that's almost the worst thing for Dallas, is to make the playoffs and win this division.
I don't think so. Mm. I mean, that would show that you've made progress. You started off not that well. There were so many expectations for this team coming into the season, but you're at 5-6. You're at 6-5 right now. If you can rally after the mediocre start that you had and come back and actually win the NFC East division, I mean that would show a testament to what everything that the Dallas Cowboys have gone through. Obviously, the microscope is no bigger than on the Cowboys than any team in the National Football League, because they're still America's team. It's still the star. They're still a multi-billion-dollar franchise, the most wealthy franchise in all sports, at least in all of the NFL. So for them to come back and win that division, that would say a lot for the Cowboys.
Well, no. I mean, for them as a team, what I'm saying is they're not moving forward with Jason Garrett as coach. And if they win and make it to the playoffs, you're just extending Jason Garrett more. So I'm not talking about the brand. I'm not talking about
if they make the playoffs and they make a deep run into the playoffs, say they make the NFC Championship or let alone the Super Bowl, then you may have to come back and revisit that thought.
I think the only way that happens, and I'll revisit it, if Jared Goff and Drew Brees and Khalil Mack and all of them get hurt to clear that path. But until that happens, I'm not buying what they're selling. I'm sorry. What'd you say? It's going to take a lot. You know what? The game is about adjustments and moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is. And the two things, and Coach Herm Edwards, who I'm going to talk about a little bit later, says there's two things no matter what that travel well, and that's defense and running. And that is so true. But if you can't make adjustments to what the other teams are doing after halftime, good coaches, as we all know, they kill you. Look at Belichick yesterday. Who in their right minds not only thought New England would win, but would cover the spread against the Jets, because they had a poor game and then a bye week. And if you didn't think the Patriots were going to be more than prepared for what the Jets had to offer, anyone thinking that was nuts. You give those guys a week to study you, it's a wrap. And Jason Garrett just doesn't seem to have that. And I'm not trying to speak ill of the man, because obviously he has one of the 32 jobs that people covet. But that doesn't mean that you're one of the best there is. And the Belichicks and the Reeds, these guys are the best.
And yeah, and then you just wonder how long that Jerry Jones is going to be content with mediocrity, with just getting by, with just sticking around 500. I mean, this is a franchise that's used to winning world championships. They're used to having Lombardi trophies inside of their building. They spent look how much Jerry spent on that facility, on that magnificent stadium, and the Frisco, the star, their practice facility. He can't spend billions of dollars and expect just 500 play. Evidently, I mean, over time, eventually, a change has got to be made, and we see it with coaching. We saw it with the Jaguars OC getting fired. After they lost, they started off 3-1. Now they've lost, I believe, 7 or 8 in a row. So change has got to be made, and with a lot of teams, it's made at the coaching position. And maybe it will happen with the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Table that Jaguars, because I want to bring it up in a little bit. Lou, what else do you have for us before I get to Ed?
Yeah, I mean, am I the only one who thought that Ohio State was really going to beat Michigan? I mean, I thought it was going to be a more competitive game, but did anybody else think that Ohio State was going besides me?
No, Lou,
I thought Ohio State was
going to win. Like you, I know it's one of the greatest rivalries in all of sports, not just college football.
Yes.
I thought it would be a lot more than 239. I did not see the Buckeyes putting up 60-plus points on a John Harbaugh, a Jim Harbaugh-led team. But you know, that just goes to show it's the Buckeyes. It's that rivalry, and they just had the better day than the Wolverines that day.
Yeah. Or what about the 7 overtime game that happened in the late game? Oh my goodness,
that was just wild.
Yeah,
Lou,
wild. I was texting Paul during the game. I was like, dude, you got to turn this game on, man. We're in 6 overtimes right now. This is a classic.
Yeah,
I did not see 7 overtime.
Tied a record.
I stayed for every second of every overtime they had. That was a thriller. That was a great game.
I better put that in my best of the year show.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to.
Maybe.
And Lou, just so you know, I didn't like Ed said, I didn't think Ohio State would hang 62 on Michigan, but I thought for sure they would beat Michigan. I really did for a couple reasons. One, it was an issue. Two, they won three straight. And everything has gone wrong for Urban Meyer this year. A lot of it is self-inflicted. But if there's one thing that he can do, and that's get guys ready for a big game. And when it comes to everything else, Ohio State against this team, Ohio State against that team, I bet you Northwestern plays them better than Michigan did. But the one thing that he does as the second-best coach in college football is get them ready for Michigan. And I honestly, you look at it differently when there's a rivalry. And in their mind, they knew that if Michigan got past them, they'd be playing for a national title in the playoffs. And there was no way Ohio State, whether they get in or not, was going to let Michigan play for that game. Just wasn't going to happen. I just didn't see that happening. I really didn't. I don't see it happening next year when they play in Ann Arbor. I see Ohio State beating them again there. And until Michigan, until Jim Harbaugh beats Ohio State, I see Ohio State, as long as Urban Meyer's there, beating them every single year.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right. All right. I'll leave it at that.
All right, buddy. Good to hear you back. Good to hear you back since I'm back
you
from vacation, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
You got it. Good day, gentlemen.
Thank you, Lou.
Take care, Lou. Good friend
Appreciate
of program,
you,
Lou. Always good to catch up with him. He's on the line.
Good brother right there.
He hopped on. Did not. Yes, he is. And I give a chance to give him the proper introduction. This is the one, the only, Ed Cole on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. My brother, my partner in crime. How you like that picture that I was able to dig up? Again, you know, I got a thousand of these. I got them everywhere. I got pictures.
You know
when they say, be careful because they probably have pictures. I'm that guy. I've got pictures. I got them everywhere.
Yeah. Man, you pulled that one out of the archives. I was like, oh, man.
Oh. and I said table this with the Jaguars, and I wasn't going to talk about them too much today, but I am because I'm glad you brought it up before we get back to some of the topics at hand here. They fired their OC. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Is firing an OC in Jacksonville like firing a chef when he walks into the kitchen and there's 3-month-old milk, rotten eggs, and some outdated turkey? what exactly did you expect him to make with what you left him? And, yeah, I'm taking a shot at Bortles. Exactly how much do you expect an OC to do when you had the New England Patriots beat in their building in the playoffs and you coached to make sure Bortles couldn't throw a pass to make you lose? And then you lost because you couldn't do anything with him as QB. So how much could that OC really do knowing Bortles was his quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he doesn't have, like, talent there. I mean, because he does. I mean, he's got Leonard Fournette there. He ran well yesterday, 2 touchdowns, 95 yards against the Bills. Granted, they lost. And he's got D.D. Westbrook. He's got Dante Moncrief, T.J. Yeldon. He's got players there. It's just the quarterback situation. And now I'm seeing that they benched Blake Bortles. So now you get rid of your OC, and now your franchise quarterback is benched because his play was so poor. So, I mean, it's a domino effect. When you lose 7 straight after starting off 3-1 and you beat New England, one of your signature wins of the first 3 wins, and then you just fall apart, lose 7 straight. You go to Buffalo yesterday against a really bad Buffalo Bills team, and you lose against a rookie quarterback, Josh Allen, who didn't play well at all.
And that's my point, though. You know what I'm saying? That's my point in a nutshell. You have Blake – you named some wide receivers, but wide receivers can't get the ball unless the quarterback can get it to them. You named Leonard Fournette, who's already once again missed, I believe, 3 or 4 games due to injury again. At what point does the OC come under fire when your head coach before last season started said the best plan is if Bortles doesn't pass the ball? I don't know who's happier. I don't know if they're happier to move on from him or he's happier to move on from Blake Bortles and an offense where your best running back is always hurt, your quarterback can't complete a pass, and you have wide receivers that can't catch because the quarterback can't get on the ball.
Yeah, I mean, didn't we just go through the same scenario about a month ago with Mike McCoy here with the Cardinals, when the Cardinals couldn't do anything and they couldn't get Fitz anything going, they couldn't get David Johnson going, they couldn't do anything offensively, so they made a move and they brought in Byron Leftwich, they promoted him to the offensive coordinator position. Over time, Paul, you and I both know that, and our great listeners know this. When an offense is not working, a defense is not working, special teams isn't working on any team, doesn't matter if it's football, any sport, if any one aspect or multiple aspects of your team is not working, you have to make a change, whether it's players or whether it's coaching. And more often than not, if the players are playing hard, then it's got to be on the coaches, and the coaches have to take the fall for that. And we saw that again. We saw that with the Jaguars. We saw it here with Mike McCoy. We've seen it all through college football just this past weekend with head coaches getting fired and all these different moves being made. If things are not working up to these teams' standards, then people have to pay.
Very true. And we're going to have a whole list of coaches get fired when this McCarthy is one that's gone.
Oh,
if Jason Garrett doesn't make the playoffs, he's one.
Yeah, Paul, as good of a coach as he is, I think he, you know, for them to be four, I think they're 4-7-1 now after last night's loss to the Vikings.
Right.
I'm sure you know, you have that record at hand because it's the Packers, and we know how you feel about the Packers. You feel about them about as much as you feel about the Wildcats. but my thing is,
oh,
Paul,
we're
going to
talk about them
McCarthy,
later, too.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy is a fantastic head coach, and I think we know he's taking them about as far as he can with them. They're 0-6 on the road this season. That's not getting it done. And you've got arguably the greatest quarterback that's ever stood behind the center and taken snaps in Aaron Rodgers, and he's not what he used to be. This season is not vintage Aaron Rodgers, and we're seeing that right now with their record and their play and where they are in the situation. And Rodgers is talking about, yeah, we can rally and still make the playoffs. They should be in contention. They're a good football team, but, I mean, Coach McCarthy, I mean, it's just things are not working right now for them, and as much as I hate to see it, I think a change is going to be made there. But McCarthy, I mean, don't fear for him. He'll get a head coaching job really quick if that's where the Packers decide to go, because he's that good, but I think his time has run its course there.
You know what, though? I blame him for, I said it earlier, for the play calling, but also blame the Packers because they've always done that. We're going to do it from within, within, within. Do you realize over the last 3 years, they have spent the least amount of money on free agents? Now, you can't all just go out and sign a free agent and hope that turns everything around. But in this day and age, if you're not even going out there trying to be competitive with some of the better free agents, then that's a you problem. And they're having a you problem. They have no weapons, relatively speaking. And, Ed, you know what? It's funny how the NFL is shaken out to the haves and the have-nots. You have the Chiefs with just weapons, the Rams, weapons, the Saints, weapons all across the board.
Weapons.
I mean, Pittsburgh, weapons all across the board. Hell, even
the Chargers
Bears
have weapons.
And weapons. The Chargers have weapons. And then you look at the teams that are 6-5, 5-6, trying to battle around, trying to hang in there. They have two or three guys. Look, Seattle is doing this because Russell Wilson is a magician. The Panthers are doing it because Cam is a freak of nature. They're doing it because of this guy, this guy, this guy. But when it comes to competing for wins and titles and championships, you need 11 of those guys on each side of the ball. And that's where the Seattles, for lack of weapons, the Carolina Panthers, the Philadelphia Eagles this year, those are the teams that are falling short because they just don't put enough bullets in the gun to really compete with all these other teams.
Yeah, but the weapons they do have, I'm just looking at the box score yesterday from the – you mentioned the Seahawks and the Panthers. I mean, just look at Christian McCaffrey. This boy was on fire yesterday, 125 rushing, 112 receiving. So both of these teams have talent. Chris Carson, a good running back. Tyler Lockett, we know how good he is. And David Moore had a big game, and we talked about Russell Wilson for the Seahawks. They do have bullets in the chamber. They just don't have enough compared to the Saints and, like you said, the Chiefs and the Chargers and teams that have more bullets in the chamber.
Exactly. You know what? On line with McCary, like you online, the one, the only Ed Cole. You know what you just described? Harlem Knights. are Sidney Hall and his other boy, they're firing at Eddie Murphy, and the one dude is up there going, pow, pow, and they're, brrr, and he's, pow, pow. That's exactly what you just described. Christian McCaffrey and Cam Newton, great players. They're pow, pow. The Rams, Woods, Gurley, Cooks, Goff, they're, brrr, and that's what you're competing against. And in Green Bay,
yeah,
they're pow, so, pow.
Yeah, so I equate the Rams and the Chargers and the Saints. I equate them to Biggie. I equate it to Machine Gun Funk. That's what they bring every single game is Machine Gun Fire.
Exactly. Online, listen, I want to just talk Cardinals real quick, briefly, and then we're gonna jump over to the NBA. But. And at this point, am I alone? Let me set this up. Am I alone in thinking this? And I'm not saying the Cardinals are, because no athlete ever wants to lose a game. Never, ever. I don't care who it is. They all play to compete. But
sure.
Is it advantageous for the Cardinals, outside looking in, for the Cardinals to win out at this point? Does it really help them to not get that 1-2-3 draft? And I'm speaking as a
uh-huh.
person that doesn't do. I'm looking at this as if I'm a fan looking in. As a fan, do you want them to win out, or do you want them to get a higher draft pick? Not as people that do sports, not as people that cover sports, because we know the correct answer is always win. But as a fan,
sure.
Do you want them to win right now?
Oh man, that's a dual-edged sword, isn't it? I mean, of course, you want to see your boys go out there and just give it their all, which they do every single game. I mean, Grant, they ran into a buzzsaw yesterday. I mean, the Chargers and what Phillip Rivers did yesterday, just historic, 28 of 29. The guy started off 25 out of 25. I mean, when you run into a buzzsaw like that, there's nothing much you can do about that. They had a great first quarter, but the first quarter against the Chargers is not going to win you anything. But you want your guys to go out there and play hard and compete until the end, and let the chips fall where they may. If they so happen to lose, like they did yesterday, then they so happen to lose. But at least you got the maximum effort from a Cardinals team. And you have to ask the average fan. Of course, they'll have different opposing opinions. Some will say, yeah, I want us to go out. I want us to win five straight and end up 7-9. That'll do good for the psyche of the team, and that'll do good for Josh Rosen and David Johnson and Fitz if he ever decides to come back next year. That'll do good for everybody's psyche. But if we go ahead and lose out and if we wind up 2-14, 3-13, or 4-12, or whatever, that helps with our draft positioning. So, I mean, you just have to ask the average fan, and you'll get so many differing opinions. But of course, you would want everybody in the organization would want this team to end up 7-9 because that's good for the organization and that's good for business.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like I said, and that's why I was taking it more of as a fan. What would you think? Because fans want the pick, and we saw this in the Suns last year. I was at the Suns
yep.
when they were drawing for who was going to have the number one pick in the draft. They sold popcorn and beer and had at least 6,000-7,000 people in the arena just to hear if they got the lottery pick. So I think it's no longer – wow, our team is last. We got the pick, hopefully to help us get better. It's at this point of the season, once we see we're officially out of it, we don't care anymore. We would rather see it. And I think that's where the mentality in sports has changed, because you don't want to win every night, fan, now. You want, once the season is wrapped, mathematically done, you want the pick. And I think it's interesting how the mentality has changed now in sports.
Yeah, true. Yeah, of course, again, you want your guys, if you're paying your hard-earned money to come see your guys play, you want them to play hard, but you know they won't tank. That's not what they do. That's not in their DNA for the Cardinals
no.
to tank and just blow and just say, okay, well, we're 2-9. We're just going to go ahead. Next week, we're just going to go to Lambeau, and we're going to let Aaron Rodgers light us up. The week after, we're going to let Matthew Stafford come in our home and blow us out of the water just because we're 2-9. No, they're going to go out and play hard, but – yeah, at this point, you know you're out of the playoffs. You know you're mathematically out. There's no way you're going to come back and make the playoffs, even at 7-9. There's no way. So, yeah, you want to play for the pick and see what you can get talent-wise next year in the NFL draft that can bolster your team and hopefully make your team better. And let's just see what happens over the next 5 weeks, how these next five games play out.
Speaking of more games, the Cardinals have a game on the schedule next week. Switching over to college football, ASU has a bowl game to look forward to. But there's a team down in Tucson that had to win last week on Saturday during rivalry Saturday to be able to play one more game. And I got a text from you, and it said it's going to take, like, I think the text was like, it's going to take a miracle comeback for, I'm not going to say the team's name yet, to come back to win this game. And I think I sent you a text.
And preface that by saying, and preface that next text that I sent saying, it can be done.
It can be done. And I sent, I believe the text said hope. I believe that's what the text said that I sent back, hope. And then I flipped to the four letter and looked at the score. And their odds maker, whatever, with about 6 minutes and 42 seconds left, had a team as a 99% chance of winning that game. To that, I'm going to say there's always that 1%. And the Sun Devils, who had the most miraculous comeback over the course of time, everything that had to go wrong for U of A went wrong for U of A. I'm calling them by name since they lost this game. They had to get off the field quick. They did with the turnover. They had to get off the field quick again. They did with the fumble. And the one thing that I think is funny, and this is where if you listen to fans, fans make you fans when you're a coach. Three times this year, I've looked on Twitter, either being at a game or a away game for ASU, and Herm went for it, and they said, come on, Herm, kick the field. What's wrong with you? Quit being so aggressive. Take the points. What's wrong with you? And this game down 40-32, he took the field goal, and I went to Twitter and I said, what is wrong with you? You need to score. You don't need field goals. And it's amazing how just by sticking to what he does, he was right. And in fact, when he kicked the field goal, I thought it was the right move because if you don't and you go for it, even if you go for it, you need the touchdown and the 2 points. If you don't get the 2 points, you got to score again anyway. At least by taking a field goal, a touchdown puts you ahead. I thought it was a brilliant call. I thought the players woke up. What are your thoughts on that ridiculously crazy ASU territorial cup? The cup comes back to Tempe where it belongs. Leave that part out. I didn't say that. Where it belongs over at Sun Devil Stadium.
No, you meant to say that. You meant to say that. Of course. And see, and folks, so Paul and I, just to give you some more background, some behind the scenes. So Paul and Ed Smith and I are texting afterwards, and I'm just like, and Paul's saying to Ed and I, oh, I just feel so bad for that Arizona kicker that he missed that field goal. And Ed and I are like, yeah, as you laugh, as you send this text, because you have no feelings at all. That you have no feelings of ill will or you have no feelings of love toward that kicker because he missed that field goal. You were celebrating. You were dancing a jig when that young man missed that field goal. Oh, my gosh. I knew you were laughing the entire time you sent that text. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I feel so bad he missed that kick. And, man, if he made that kick, oh, we would have lost that game and Arizona would have won the Territorial Cup. But yeah, Paul, I mean, just a 20-point surge in the fourth quarter. I mean, that was arguably one of the greatest games in the history of that rivalry, which has seen a lot of great games over the course of both of those two franchises, both of those two programs. But that one has to rank up there as probably, you know, that's got to be a top three, top five all-time game in that series. And for the fact that they won the Territorial Cup, like you said, it's coming back to Tempe and Sun Devil Stadium, and that definitely puts them into a bowl wherever it is. I mean, that's just a heck of a way to end the season and to kill the Wildcats' hope of a bowl game.
Yeah, and you know what? All kidding aside, I don't feel bad that the kick was – I'm positive. I don't feel bad that the kick was missed at all. I was rooting for the kick to be missed.
I knew that. But I feel
bad for the young man that missed a kick, if that makes any sense the way I'm saying it.
I
wouldn't want anybody to make it, but it seems like he's a good kid, and I feel bad that that's the way he leaves his, you know, he's a fifth-year kicker. I feel bad that's the way the season ends for him, but I don't feel bad that he missed.
Yeah,
Mr.
because,
Kit,
because
you,
as you and I both, because as you and I both know, he was going to be so unjustly criticized for missing that kick that lost the game for the Wildcats. And this, and it, you know, yes, he missed the kick, but it's not his fault that they gave up 20 points in the fourth quarter and lost the game. Yes, they could have won it on his kick, but it's not solely on him that they lost that game.
Right.
But of course, he'll
right.
be looked at even more. He'll be looked at more even more because he was in the limelight, he was in the spotlight, and he kicked that thing wide right, and they lost because of that missed kick. But it's not all his fault.
Do you know that there was this guy that writes for the SportsCave.com, where Cave is always with the K, and the Sun Devils were 3-3, and this guy came out and said the Sun Devils are going to end up 7-5. Predicted 7-5 when the season started, wasn't really quite sure of the path. When they were 3-3, looked at this team and its growth, and Ed, obviously I'm talking about myself, I'm not saying this, and there's one thing that hopefully people know about me by now, and I know you know about me. I have my favorites. I'm not going to lie. I'm a Sun Devil to the heart. It's my school. I love it. I have the fortune of covering it. But when it comes to putting stuff on paper and being a journalist about things, I'm 100% neutral at that point. I'm not going to fan-haven you with what I think. But I said they'd go 7-5 because I didn't think they would go up to Oregon and win. They were more competitive than I thought they were. And there was a couple other games in there that I thought they'd lose. Like, I thought they'd lose the Stanford game. But the one thing that I noticed about this team as the season was going on, it seemed to take more and more of the Herm Edwards personality, and that they were going to be a running team, and they were going to punish you with the run, and they were going to play good defense. Ed, this is a team that N'Keal Harry is leaving, and we'll briefly get into that because I know you got to jump in a second. We'll briefly get into N'Keal Harry jumping, leaving, but they've almost set next year up. They have five freshmen that started on defense. That's only going to get better. They have Eno Benjamin, who's going to rush for almost 1,500 yards and who definitely will be on the Heisman watch early in the season next year. Brandon is showing that he's going to be an incredible wide receiver to step in for a big void that's about to be left. The year after, they're bringing in Chad Johnson's son. They're bringing in Ryan Clark's son on the defensive side. And Herm has his team going in the right direction. And when I wrote that article, that's what I had in mind. And it all seems like it's coming to fruition.
Yeah, it takes time for a new head coach to get used to a new system, a new scheme, and for the players to get used to the scheme that the new coach and his new coaching staff are implementing. But it's going to take time. But like you said, they're headed in the right direction. Of course, getting a great win on Saturday over the Wildcats is great. They get a bowl bid in their first season. I mean, the things are looking up. And, of course, you know that recruits and high – level talent were looking at this program, and they're like, okay, well, let's see what happens with Coach Herm in their first season. I'm sure they had their eyes intently on the Sun Devils, and now that they saw the end result, that they're getting into a bowl game and they're going to get even more national exposure because of that, and they're in the postseason, regardless of whatever bowl it is, that impresses these young recruits that are looking at that school, and they're weighing their options, and they're thinking, okay, let me take a second or a third look at this Sun Devil team, because this could be somewhere where I could thrive.
Exactly, Ed, and considering that they went to USC and won, and they beat UCLA here, and California's a hotbed for recruiting. And
yeah,
you can say what you want about it. It was used against ASU last year, and fairly or unfairly, it's going to be used against USC. And it's easy to say, hey, look, you want to go to USC? And I don't think Herm would ever say this, because honestly, I think Herm is an incredible stand-up guy. But if you're a kid, you could be thinking in your mind, wow, do I really want to go to SC where I don't know what their coach is going to do? I don't know what the situation is. I can go to ASU where they've already beat USC. They've already beat UCLA. It's proven that they got five freshmen playing on defense. They don't care if you're a junior or a senior. If you can play, you can play. They're going to play me. So it seems like by beating those two schools in a place where you do the recruiting, by having five freshmen starting, knowing that there's going to be an open competition at quarterback, I think if you're a kid and there's a school that you want to go to where the weather's good, the place is good, I don't see why ASU would not be that place. In terms of N'Keal Harry, I was at the press conference at earlier today, a couple hours ago. He obviously is going pro. That was the announcement. My question directly was, are you thinking about not playing in the bowl game, whichever it is, due to injury and all that stuff? And Coach Herman Himble said that's yet to be determined. Ed, I think N'Keal Harry's last game was the game. I know what the coach is saying. I know what N'Keal is saying. It makes no sense for him to play in a bowl game.
It doesn't. I mean, it'd be awesome. It'd be great if he could play in that game, whatever bowl it is, and they go out with a win in that bowl game. But if the way he ends his career is with one of the greatest victories in Sun Devil program, in Sun Devil football history, then that'd be a great way to end his career, wouldn't it? I wouldn't hate the young man if he decided not to play in the bowl game and just kept himself healthy, and he decides, okay, I'm going to devote myself to the NFL draft. I'm going to get myself together. I'm going to work myself out even harder. I'm going to, get my agent and all the business moves he needs to make to get to that next level for an NFL team, a franchise to look at him. I mean, I wouldn't hate on the young man for making that decision. That's totally his decision. Whatever he feels comfortable with, hey, I'm good with too. I'm just happy that he had a great career here, and he's moving on to the NFL, and he can represent the Arizona State Sun Devils so well with whatever team drafts him.
You know I'm still cheesing over that victory, though, right? Like, all kidding aside, you know I'm still cheesing over that victory from Saturday. I
wouldn't expect anything less from you, of course.
You knew that. I was there. I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line. The one, the only.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLO.
That leads me to the Suns. My favorite narcotic, Ed. I've said this. We've texted about it back and forth. I think the Suns should go out and get John Wall. And I say that for this reason. The NBA tanks. We talked about football, the NBA tanks. And the NBA tanks differently because they know the players aren't going to tank games. They know that. But what they'll do is they'll call up guys from D-League and they'll let them play. Or they'll sign guys to 10-day contracts. And they'll give them more minutes. And then they'll shut guys down. They're not going to ask a player to tank because a player won't tank. But I think the Suns should be past that at this point. And I say that because let's say they go out and they get one of the top three guys from Duke. Or they get someone else. I don't know, whoever else. You can have all the great wing players you want. If they go out and draft a wing player from Duke, that then gives them Jackson and Warren and Bridges and that wing player, all young, all under 25. Devin Booker under 25. You have all these guys that can play the wing. You have Aiden at your center. Still don't have a guy to get them the ball. And so you can have all that talent in the world. Reminds me of the Knicks. And I know you remember this about 10, 12 years ago. Knicks had like 9 forwards on their roster. Great. Who's going to pass them the ball? I think it's time when you have a certain amount of assets, time to leverage the assets. And it's time to leverage one. And if that means you may miss out on one of these guys, you got to start getting someone that can pass the ball. Isaiah Cannon is a great kid. He's not a point guard. Go get a point guard.
Yeah, especially somebody like John Wall. That guy doesn't come open every day. We know the situations and the issues that they're having chemistry-wise with the Wizards out there. And even though they've been playing well the last couple of games, they're starting to step their thing up. They're still a bad basketball team. And that team is in need of a breakup badly. And this, I mean, what more perfect time to make a deal for a quality point guard like John Wall for the Phoenix Suns than right now? But the question is, do you think he would come here?
I don't think he would have a choice because he has 3 years left on his deal. And that's the kind of person the Suns have to go and get. And I say that because if the Suns go out and they trade for a guy that has 1 year left on the deal, he's going to bolt. He's going to leave. If you go out and you get the kid from Minnesota, their backup point guard, you're bringing in a backup point guard. They obviously didn't think he could do the job. They went out and brought in Jeff Teague. They go out and they've given Derrick Rose even more minutes that he's not playing. So why do you want to go out and get someone else's backup? So there is a point guard that's out there. He's got to make $40 million in 2 years. Who really cares? You have the money. You're going to clear money this year of $15 million from Trevor Ariza. You're going to clear $22 million next year from Ryan Anderson. Go get someone that can get Aiden the ball where he needs it, that can get Booker the ball where he needs it, that can get Bridges the ball where he needs it, and stop monkeying around. Get a guy that can play point, that's going to be under contract for 3 years. And you can't tell me a Kentucky guy doesn't want to come play with a Kentucky guy, because that's all we ever hear. How the Kentucky guys, with the exception of Rondo, always want to play with Kentucky guys.
If you ever want to progress and be competitive in the Western Conference and, you know, eventually try to compete with the Golden State Warriors and everybody that's good in that conference, you're right. You've got to have solid point guard play, because we know every championship team that's ever been assembled in the National Basketball Association has had a solid point guard or a solid assemblage of point guards that can play that position.
I'm with you. Ed, this narcotic is getting harder and harder to take on a daily basis. And I feel like I'm in a double narcotic, because I watch my Bulls lose on a consistent basis. And then there's the Suns, and I'm on that narcotic. Ed, I'm not ready for help, but these narcotics are getting kind of hard to take right now.
And it didn't get any easier yesterday in Detroit, did it?
It did not. And you know what? Even Detroit, they have a serviceable point guard in Reggie Jackson. So when you look around the league, it's like you can't run out. See, everyone says how Isaiah Cannon sucks. Isaiah Cannon doesn't suck. You're putting him in a position to fail. He's trying his best, but that's not who he is. And I think they're doing a disservice. You're wasting his talent. You're wasting the coach's ability to teach and coach, because he's having to consistently make up for what he doesn't have. And so I just think it's getting kind of old. You let Bledsoe go for literally nothing, for a half-empty bottle of hot water in Arizona in the summer. And you had an opportunity the summer before to trade for Kyrie, and you don't do that. You let Bledsoe go because he was mad and he pissed you off, and now you're starting you know what? Let me get off the narcotic. Let me ask you this question before I let you go. Very important question. Most important question there is. Who was a better best friend to Fred on Safran & Son? Was it Grady or was it Bubba?
Oh, man. Fred. Grady.
It was Grady. Did you like Grady better than Bubba, though?
I like Grady a lot better than Bubba. See, the best Grady is when Red Fox went off the show because of contract disputes, and it was in season 3. He started season 3 of Sanford and Son because Red Fox had issues with management or whatever, and he went off the show. And they played it like he went back to St. Louis because of some family issue. And then when Grady came in and took over for Fred and was looking over Lamont, the scenes with him and Aunt Esther were some of the best scenes ever on that show. Some of the dialogue those two had were classic. And Grady was – I mean, Bubba would go to the mat for Fred, but Grady was a ride or die for that dude. He was.
Good Gooby Goo, I believe, was his
rest
his
in peace
to
Whitman Mayo. Oh, my gosh, I love it.
Yeah, like I said, we had all these sports questions, but why didn't we ever get more?
Fred?
I liked Bubba better, because Grady sometimes, I like Grady, but Bubba was just funnier because he would do more in terms of the slapstick type stuff, if that makes any sense. He was just like that dude. You know how, like, in the old days, you probably had on the East Coast, had a guy down the street that fixed cars in an alley, and there was a guy that didn't fix cars at all. All he did was sit there on the milk crate while the other guy fixed the cars and told everyone how good of a car fixer he was. To me, that was Bubba.
Yeah.
Bubba was the alley mechanic's best friend.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Oh, big time. Big time. And so that's why I kind of choose Bubba. Now, Grady was good. Grady, when he was going to get married, he brought in a lady, and Fred and Lamont called Dolly. They literally goes, "My Dolly, oh, Lord." And they made fun of her. episode was probably one of the funniest episodes ever. But
that was
Bubba,
and the part when she raised her hand for him to kiss it, and Fred was like, "Oh, I see you do laundry." I cry every time I see that. It's just classic writing.
He said, "Well, she had on her robe. For me, being the gentleman that I am, I thought it would only be nice for me to put on my robe, because then that would be the right way to go." And
oh, yeah.
Said, you believe a cock and bull story
like
that?
When he sat down with Dolly, he was like, he said, Grady's told me so many things about you, and I still don't believe it. Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Yep. But see, Bubba had the blind mellow jelly. I want my daddy's records back.
Yeah, I want my daddy's records.
I want my daddy's records. So.
Oh.
Classic.
Oh, and the episode, the one of the best ones is the Othello episode, and when they were looking at Lamont, he was acting with the lady in the house, and he was choking her.
Oh.
And they came back.
Yes.
And Fred looked in.
Yep.
And he had a heart attack, and he pointed at Bubba. Go look, and Bubba had a heart attack too.
Yes,
oh
sir.
My gosh.
Yes,
that's,
sir.
See, that's the mark of a great show. I mean, that show is 40-plus years old, and every time I watch it and you watch it, we know what's going to happen. We know the dialogue. We know every scene that's going to happen, but it's still – we still laugh and we cry because it's just some of the best TV shows that we've – it's the best TV show we've ever seen, if not one of the – that's definitely my top – one of my top three, if not my most favorite TV show ever.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Yo, my brother, give everyone your Twitter handle so they can check you out.
At Twitter and Instagram, at EdCole43.
My man, you know I appreciate you. This was fun. This was a lot
of
fun.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, it's always my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I know the airtime is valuable. I appreciate you having me on, dude.
Hey, anytime. And I don't care what you and Ed say. I'm going to keep taking this narcotic, all right? I'm going to take a little bit of it tomorrow. I'm gonna be over there on Friday, so I'm on it hard right now, and I'm gonna fight through it. I'm gonna keep saying, bring John Wall. So no intervening. I'm good. I'm gonna keep taking it.
I mean, you take it one game at a time. Let's see what they can do against the Pacers. I mean, all you can do is play the next game and see what you can do against Indiana. If they can get a win, and you know, I know they've only won one road game, and obviously things are bleak at 4-15. But still, you know, you take it one game at a time, you get a win over the Pacers, and move on from there.
There you go. See, that's why I'm on that narcotic. My brother, I appreciate you for jumping on, and we'll catch up real soon.
Much love. Hey, give your love to my love to your family, man. Let them know I love them, and, you know, we got to get up real soon and do the whole family, like, double date thing. Everybody.
No doubt. And back to your community, to your end as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, brother. I'll get with you.
All right, brother. All right. Peace, man. Peace.
All right, now. Peace now. The one, the only, Ed Cole. Really appreciate him hopping on with us. Yeah, Bubba was the one, huh? Bubba and Grady. So let's see. We talked about the Suns. We talked about N'Keal Harry. We talked about ASU beating U of A. We talked about the Cardinals. We talked about ASU beating U of A. We talked about the Dallas Cowboys. We talked about ASU beating U of A. I think the only thing left is talk about ASU beating U of A and the Territorial Cup coming back to Phoenix or Tempe. Or did I already talk about ASU beating U of A in a 20-point fourth quarter comeback? Did I talk about that? Did I talk about ASU beating U of A? I think I did. Till tomorrow. All calls were made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thanks to Ed Cole. Thanks to Lou for giving a call in. Until the next time, this is PLR. This is The Cave Show. You can get us on social media, Instagram, Facebook fan page, and Twitter at Sports Cave, where Cave is always at The Cave. You can get us online on our website at sportscave.com, where Cave is always with the K. And you can get me directly at PLR on sports. Until next time, thanks for joining us. This has been The Cave Show. This is PLR. Check you out tomorrow. Make sure you check us out on social media to see who our fine guests will be. Take care, everyone. Have a happy Monday. Get that turkey out you. Get out and work out a little bit. I'm going to try to do the same myself. This is PLR. This is The Cave Show.